I was out paddling yesterday, and this thought kind of came to me that really I had this great lesson planned. I had this great lesson planned. Yeah. I thought today we would talk about how to perform miracles, raise the dead, while you're walking on the water. But since Ed Slay and Eric McCarty are more proficient at that than I am, I thought they'll probably get to share that soon. So instead of looking at something spectacular, let's look at something supernatural. See, man is a spirit. He has a soul and lives in a body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. But the problem is we get that out of order. You can listen to people talk and you can hear what order their priorities are in. What are they saying? Well, body, soul, and spirit. And I'm not trying to be picky or legalistic here. I'm just saying I've done that. But God wants us to be more spirit conscious, more aware of our spirit, more aware of the recreated human spirit when we're born again, more aware of those who have not had their spirits recreated. We get so caught up in this natural world because there are so many things we have to do. But what does God say? God wants us to focus on the spirit. Focus on the spiritual realm. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you would. Deuteronomy 30. And let's look in the Word for just a few minutes today. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you for this honor, this privilege. There's so many great Bible teachers sitting right here in this room who can blow your hair back with revelation knowledge. I'm not one of them. Somebody pinpointed it. Helped me out tremendously about 2 years ago. They said, "You're just a foundation inspector." I said, I'll take that. Praise God. Let's just look at the foundation. You get too deep for me and I get too excited about it. I was like, oh, praise God. That's wonderful. And then I went to the Lord one time. I said, why can't I share stuff like that? And then when that person told me that, I went, oh, okay, I get it now. That's fine. I'll stay right there. That's fine. I want to talk today about choices. Look at the person beside you and say, sounds great. Choices. We make choices every day. But choices in the walk of faith, to be more specific. Choices in the walk of faith. In the past, you and I, all of us in this room, have gone through challenging times. It's life, as Teresa was saying. There are challenges that come our way. Some of you have been through traumatic challenges. I can probably name you five at least major challenges that I personally went through in this life. I mean, I remember specifically one time as a younger man in the backyard of my parents' home, beating the ground and weeping, crying out to God in the middle of the night. We go through different things like this. Joanne and I went through one not too long ago, and it shook me to the core. But praise God, I found out what was in the core. I found out what was there. And today I just want to share a few things about choices that I had to make to fall back on the Word when the bottom dropped out. All right? And maybe this will help you. Maybe one, maybe a handful, whatever. There are more than this. And I cannot go into detail because of this session here. But I probably will on the podcast. That's what I'm thinking. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit within us, your hand on us. We thank you, Lord God, for revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words I speak into the hearts and lives of these, your people. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 30, 19. You're familiar with this. God's talking to Moses. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Say it again. Choose life. That both you and your seed may live. I like the easy-to-read version of that. It says this. Today, I'm giving you a choice of two ways. Yeah. And I ask, now listen to this. And I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses of your choice. I like that. I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses of your choice. You can choose life or death. The first choice will bring you a blessing. The other choice will bring you a curse. So choose life. Then you and your children will live. You and your seed may live. I thank God that my child is taught of the Lord. And great is his peace because he is taught of the Lord, not the world and not the world system. How about you? Do you thank God that your children, grandchildren, relatives, friends, neighbors, the people you are believing God for and praying for, that they're taught of the Lord? Then quit saying they're taught of the world. They're taught of the Word, not the world. Heaven and earth against you, or to listen, or to be witnesses for you. That children, in the King James it says the seed, and I immediately thought about the seed of faith. When we plant the seed of faith, you know, the farmer can't tell you how it grows, the Bible says, but he sure knows how to kill it. Go out there and dig it up every day and see if it's growing. You've never dug up your seed of faith, have you? Ouch. So the first choice that the Lord ministered to me was this. Number one, choose humility over humiliation. Let me say, where is he going with that? Well, just listen. Have you ever heard anybody say, bite your tongue? Well, I did that recently. And it hurt. And for a couple of days, I was walking around thinking, I am not going to let anything, unwholesome words, anything against someone come out of my mouth because I bit my tongue and I don't want it to hurt in any way. Look at the person beside you and say, don't bite your tongue. You don't have to. Let the Word of God be your umpire. So choose humility over... See, my mind is speaking... My mouth is speaking what my mind is choosing. Choose humility over humiliation. Humiliation means to cause someone to feel a loss of pride. And pride, of course, is the satisfaction in our own achievements. Well, you know, the devil tried to do that to Jesus with the cross, but he didn't have any pride in him. And the devil can't understand you if you don't have pride. He can't understand humility, so he tries to humiliate you. Anybody here ever been humiliated? It's not fun. I'd rather be humbled. In fact, I'd rather humble myself than to have the devil or you humble me. As Graham Cook says, what stance will you take in the circumstance? Will you take one of pride or will you take one of humility? So when I got hit emotionally and mentally, I had to find out, well, Bert, why are you feeling this way? It was because of pride. A pride identity or a God identity? Which do you want? Well, pride, I believe, is based in fear. So if I believe the fear, I'm getting in agreement with the devil. If I believe the lie, I'm empowering the liar.
That's right.
I don't want to do that because he's defeated. Look at the person beside you and say, the devil's defeated.
The devil's defeated.
Somebody says, well, I'm not in pride. Well, it sounds like you could be, doesn't it? I wrote this down. You don't have to, you can just listen to it if you want to write it down later. The self-deceived, that's what he is, defeated one attempts to humiliate you, but he cannot deal with humility. Why? Because he understands only pride, because he himself is full of it. Pride, that is, yes. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fall. He wants you to destroy you. He wants to destroy your calling, your purpose, and your mission.
Right.
That's what he's after. Everybody in here has a ministry. You're all called to do something. So humble yourself, and that's what I had to do. I said to say, okay, God, I don't know everything. I humble myself before you. Well, what does the Bible say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How? By casting all your care, all your worry, frustration, anxiety, fear over on him, for he cares for you. He cares for you affectionately. Different word. I taught this in 2011 in July, I believe, right in this pulpit, the first time I ever shared. And we cast our care on God. Now, you may or may not remember that. But that was the first lesson I taught in a home group before that, the month before that, the same lesson. But I taught it here. It was the first time I'd been back in the pulpit and taught. And we all stood there and we lifted our hands. So many of you are here. We threw our care to God and rolled it once and for all over on him. So my question is, since July of 2011, if you did that, whether you remember or not, have you had been tempted to take the care? Because if you did and you took the care, that was pride. I'm being hard here. I'm sorry. But you are saying, I can take care of this myself. I can do this without God's help. I can do it, God. I can do it, God. I can do it, God. That's pride. Hello?
Amen.
How many of you love me?
I love
you. Of three of you. How many over here? How many of you love me? You've got to. It's a commandment. Hallelujah. You don't have to agree with me. As we heard yesterday, it's all perception. Humility, though, means to lower yourself in your own estimation. I'm lowering myself in my own estimation. Why? Because if I'm in pride, I'm living in a little world of self-importance. My little world of self-importance. And you're not that important to the world, but you are to God. All right. Number two. Number one. Choose humility over humiliation. You may get one of these, may minister to you, another one may not. Number two, choose to stand on His word no matter what happens or how long it takes. Choose to stand on His word no matter what happens or how long it takes. If you're believing God for a loved one, for a person, for a child, for a grandchild, for a spouse, if you're believing God for that, or you're believing God for a healing, you're believing God for a financial situation, you're believing God in whatever the case, choose to stand on His word takes years. I think I've started this here. 10 years for the love of God to work, and it worked. It never failed. I saw it work. I've been standing for years on some things. I will not back down. The Bible says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will remain. My word will remain. I love the Passion Translation. Gary and Donice Orton gave me this, I believe it was for Christmas or my birthday. Earth and sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. Oh, before one word I speak, to my God, loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. See, contained within the word is the power to accomplish the purpose. So when you speak the word, you're getting in line with God, and you have the word of God going forth, and it has the power in it to accomplish the purpose. You don't have to work at this. You just believe God and watch your mouth.
Yes.
Bite your tongue. No, don't bite your tongue. I'll tell you, it comes down, you know, I shared this years ago, probably 11, 12 years ago, when we moved in this area. I went through, the enemy just hit hard. He hit hard. And I walked, my emotions went crazy. And I walked in and I closed the door in a room and I sat down and I was like distraught. You've never been that way, I know. And I got quiet. I tried to get my mind quiet and rose up out of my spirit. This does not change the word. This doesn't change the word. See, because God had spoken His word over the situation, He was waiting on me to. So I had to stand against fear. I had to stand against all sorts of things. I'll tell you, a key scripture in our house lately has been Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Peace, peace is the original language. I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I can read a concordance and it says peace, peace, double portion of peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. I think a key to Christianity we've not tapped into is meditation. Now, Eastern religions have, but praise, you know, somebody told me the other day they were trying to minister to somebody who was into meditation. I said, tell them you are too. Meditate the word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do all according to all that is written therein. Then, it's conditional, you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. And you will too, so don't shy away from that. Meditation. Somebody, I don't know how to meditate. Yeah, you do. Anybody here know how to worry?
That's right.
Worry is meditating on the negative.
That's right.
And some of you have been meditating day and night. Joanne's going to come up real quick and share. Do you have that microphone up here or not? It's okay. Joanne's going to come up and share an example about mind renewal that really helped me the other day. She shared it about a game.
Yeah, Bert asked me to share. I said, well, you can. And he said, no, you do it. So here I am. My brother's daughters played basketball in high school, and they were very good. So we tried to go to as many games as we could. And what God gave me was a picture of a basketball game. And he said, when you hear that, meh, what's getting ready to happen? They send in a new player. Somebody comes in, out, and somebody comes in, and I thought, okay, we're the coach of our own thoughts. And when somebody's out there fouling and they're getting tired and they're doing a lot of stupid things and it's causing the game to be lost, the coach goes, they do the buzzer, nah, and he sends in another player and benches. And sometimes that player can get thrown out of the game. And so I thought, okay, in my thoughts, when my thoughts start going negative and start fouling and messing up the game, then as the coach of my own thoughts, I put in the good thoughts. I put the word in there, and I throw the other one out of the game. And so if you can just picture that, I don't know how many people are basketball fans, but just picture that in your mind, and it may help you to sort those things out. Amen.
Oh. So I went kayaking a couple of weeks ago on Green River. Came home, and I dry out my gear. So I hung my helmet and my life jacket and stuff up. It's drying out outside. And I went to do some other things. A couple hours later, I come back and I take the helmet's attached to my life jacket because that way I don't forget either one of them. And so I took it into my shed, my building where I keep my boats, and left it in there. The next day I went in there and I walked and picked it up and looked down and a bird had built a nest in my helmet. Margaret wrote me, said, what'd you do? I said, I cleaned it out. That's what I did. And I thought about that quote Hagin used to say, and Martin Luther coined it, I guess. You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Hallelujah. Hagin used to say that all the time. Kenneth Hagin, that's what I did. I didn't want him to build it. I didn't want to put it on and have a nest in my hair. But that was immediately what I saw. I thought about that. See, the problem is we haven't understood mind renewal. It's so important. I've been studying for months on this, and it just gets more and more and deeper the further I go with it. But a mind, as they used to say, is a terrible thing to waste. And many of us have wasted our minds and our thoughts on stuff that didn't make a bit of sense. It didn't matter. It didn't come about. See, I used to be, you're talking about a worrier. I used to be a champion worrier. My mother used to call me a worry wart. Yeah. I never knew what that meant. Don't want to know now, but hallelujah. Now, I don't do that. I got my phone, the technology, and, okay, somebody wrote me a note. So I get my phone, and I think I shared this before. If you get on Siri or something like that, it'll tell you your name. You know, you can put, hello, Bert. Yeah, right. Well, I put mine in Divine Health. Hey, Divine Health, how you doing?
Good.
Why? Because I don't want to speak junk over myself. Somebody says, you're really into confession. Oh, yeah, I know I am. Oh, yeah, that's right, definitely. I'm going to speak the word, amen?
Yes.
I want to speak the word because I don't know what you're talking about me, what you're saying over me. Hello. I don't know what the devil's saying over me, but it's not good. And I want you to speak the word over me. See, I don't want...
Yes.
See, the Bible says we perish for a lack of knowledge.
Right.
And I don't want anybody to pray a perishing prayer over me.
That's right.
And I don't want you to speak perishing words over me. I want you to speak words of life over me. And I don't want to speak perishing words over myself. All right, praise God. We could go on and on about mind renewal. But let's talk about mental assent real quick. Mental assent. Mental assent, mentally agreeing that the word is true. I wrote this down a while back. Mentally assent easily gives way to sin consciousness when results seem out of reach. Mental assent easily gives way to sin consciousness. Let's think about that statement. When results seem out of reach, all of a sudden, what's wrong? I'm not good enough. Something's not happening. God, what's wrong with you? You start blaming people. Mental assent is crippled believers and stunted spiritual growth. It keeps the soulish realm in charge over your body and your spirit. Mental assent. Mental assent prohibits you from being renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right, so we talked about number one, choose humility over humiliation. Number two, in the choices in the walk of faith, choose to stand on the word no matter what happens, no matter what they do, no matter how long it takes. Number three, Choose to look at no one after the flesh.
Say that again.
Choose to look at no one after the flesh. Choose to look at no one after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16. New American Standard says this. Therefore, from now on, everybody say now on. We recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Judge not, Matthew 7:1, that you be not judged. I did that one time. I judged my roommate in college, and he turned around and he opened the Bible to Matthew 7:1, turned it over, slid it from me, said, read that. Matthew 7:1. I've never forgotten it. Judge not that you be not judged. What kind of seed are you sowing? I don't know about you, but I don't want to look on anyone after the flesh. Don't look on someone else after the flesh in the natural realm. Don't look on yourself that way, for goodness sakes. Don't look on your God, your church, or anybody else after the flesh. Unbelievers, don't look on them after the flesh. How does God see these people?
That's
by
God.
Faith. He sees them. You may say, well, yeah, well, I'm praying in the perfect will of God over the saints. Yeah, over the saints. Well, how do you think God sees them? Praying the perfect will of God over someone. Well, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. But pray the will of God over everybody. God sees you healed. God doesn't see you sick. Now, he knows when sickness comes. He's aware of that. He knows when you sin. When you tell him about it and confess it, that's not when he found out about it. Okay? But he loves you anyway. That's why I had that song played, that kind of love. Even a child can show that kind of love. Nobody's safe. One of the lines says, nobody's safe this side of hell from that kind of love.
That's right.
It's an unconditional. You've heard 9 or 10 weeks on that. I won't go into that, but from Scott. But that love is so important. It's so important for us to know that's how faith works. I used to say this, fear is the reciprocal or the opposite of faith.
Yeah.
Right? But now I'm saying fear is the opposite of love. Because perfect love casts fear out of doors. Out of how many doors does it have to cast it out of? Think about that from the Amplified. Choose to look at no one after the flesh. I looked this up this morning, Matthew 16. Joe and I were talking this morning. We were talking the Word. And remember, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. I said that to my mother one time. She didn't like that for some reason. I don't know why. But anyway, get thee behind me, Satan. And the one translation says, you are seeing things from a human point of view, not God's. You are seeing things from a human point of view, not God's. Why? Because you're focused on the flesh. I want to see you and me by the Spirit, by the Word. What does the Spirit and the Word agree? I want to see you healed. I see you whole. I see you sanctified. I see you free. I went through one time when I was believing God for a healing, and we have steps in our little house, our little cottage now. I love it. We've downsized, and praise God, thinking about how we're going to get smaller. Well, our last name is Midget. We can be small. That's okay. But anyway, I'm walking up down those steps. Healed, whole, sanctified, free. Healed, whole, sanctified, free. Healed, whole, sanctified, free. Building that into myself. Hallelujah. You see, are seeing things, Peter, you're seeing things from a human point of view, not God's point of view. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, I'm moving along. Are you getting anything?
Yeah.
That's good because it's the Word. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Ouch. Boy, the Lord got on me about that. And for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. What does it work? It works the unrighteousness of God so that you end up in sin consciousness. A lot of roads lead to sin consciousness. I'd rather be righteousness conscious. Conscious of who I am in Christ, of who He's made me to be. The kingdom of God is within you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I could go a long way on that one. Let's pull back. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear. What am I swift to hear? Am I swift to hear gossip? Am I swift to hear what somebody else is saying about them? Or am I swift to hear what God is saying about them? See, I'm looking on no one after the flesh, so I got to look on them after the Spirit. You see, because this is not natural warfare you're in. I went for 21 days. Somebody looked at me and said, boy, that was a key. I hadn't even thought about it. Hadn't even thought about that. But for 3 weeks, every morning I wake up and two separate thoughts would come at me. I would open my eyes and bam, 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 bam. And I had to fight my way out of that for 21 days. Hallelujah, but I'm free now.
That's right.
And I kept sitting in the middle of that. I'm free now. I didn't feel free now, but I was free now. Why? Because faith is now. Now faith is. That's a whole... Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody put a rope around my ankle and dragged me out of the place. All right. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. I'm swift to hear what God is saying about the situation. I'm swift. No, that's why I can stand no matter how long it takes. That's why I can choose to stand on His word. Number two, we talked about, no matter how long it takes, no matter what happens. Like people have said, if you're willing to wait forever, you won't have long to wait. I'm willing to wait forever in this, God. I don't care. Well, what if you don't see it in your lifetime? That's not my problem, hallelujah. I've stood on the word. There's so much more in that I'm going to teach on. But right now, be swift to hear, slow to speak. I'm going to speak the word over the situation, not the lie. I'm going to speak the word, not the lie, the truth, not the lie, and slow to wrath. Boy, have you ever gotten angry? Don't raise your hand. You've been free of that sin if you've asked forgiveness, all right? But it shows what's inside of you. Ouch. It reveals loving unlovely people is sometimes not fun in the flesh. But we can do it if we're slow, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I'd rather let the fruit of the Spirit accomplish something in me, not the fruit of the flesh, not the fruit of the unrenewed mind. Hallelujah. Number four, you get anything? Number one, choose humility over humiliation. Number two, choose. Remember, we're talking about choices now in the walk of faith. Choose to stand on His word no matter what happens or how long it takes. Number three, choose to look on no one after the flesh. We could go a long way with that. Choose to look on no one after the flesh. Number four, choose to pray and praise. I choose. It's a choice to pray and praise. Everyone stand up if you would, just for a quick minute. And we're going to do something that Joanne taught me years ago, and you've taught it, been taught it here. We're going to do it anyway. This will help you. You will not forget this. Prayer and praise stop the devil. Let's do it. Okay. Come on, Tom, you can do it. There you go. Ready? Here we go. Prayer and praise stop the devil. Now look at the person beside you and do it to them. They'll laugh. That's okay. Prayer and praise stop the devil. Now look at the other person on the other side of you. Let's do it. Prayer and praise stop the devil. All right. You can have a seat. Prayer and praise stop the devil. I'm not going to talk about praise so much. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. You've heard all these scriptures. Praise God. You're just getting a different perspective on it. That's all. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost... What's the next part of verse 21 say? Keep yourself in the love of God. You may say, well, I have trouble staying in the love of God. Then it goes on to say, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But back up, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? You pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, well, I can't pray in tongues. Well, yeah, you can. Open yourself up to it. Somebody says, well, tongues is a gift. Well, open it. Hallelujah. Just open the gift. He's made it available for you. I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul said. Hallelujah. But if you don't, that's okay. God still loves you. I've got a friend of mine. He doesn't pray in tongues. He operates in the spiritual gifts. Don't ask me about that. I just love Jesus. That's where I'm at in life a lot now. See, that's called humility. I just love Jesus, and He loves me. My brother-in-law says, I'm still working on Christ and Him crucified. That's kind of where I'm at in all this. But I've seen Him work in a word of knowledge. Gifts of healings operate through Him. Okay, fine. I was taught differently. I don't know everything. But the one who's in me does. And look at the person beside you and say, you don't know everything. Now look back at him and say, but the one in you does. And don't look at your spouse and say, amen, I've known that for 20 years. Build up yourself. Charge up yourselves on your most holy faith. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Let's look at a little bit part of that. We're trying to land this plane here. But you, like, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. Anybody ever been there? I don't know how to pray about this. I've got no idea how to pray. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Holy Spirit knows how to pray. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You haven't lived until you've gotten to so deep an intercession you find yourself groaning in the Spirit. Mm-mm. And it goes on to say, he makes intercession for us or through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the original language brings out inarticulate speech. Sometimes I don't know. I can't form the words. I have no idea what to say. I don't know how to pray. And the Spirit, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, verse 27, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Bill Johnson said this, he said, the Spirit, and I've reworded a little bit, the Spirit works with us, and he said, we work with the Spirit, to help untangle chains of bondage from around people's minds and their soulish realm, to get them free. And I like to say, to let them find the perfect will of God. Untangling people. Joy and I went to the Outer Banks recently. My family is from there. You think midget is a little funny name. Out there it's common, which is funny to me, actually. So got out there and, cool stories. But we drove out there, and it's probably almost 7 hours from where we live. And then we took our time and took eight and a half, probably, and just stopped and ministered to people and did stuff like that. But we went out there, and when I drive, I'm into driving very much. And I'll pray, I'll think, whatever. And Joanne likes to listen to teaching. And I like to listen to teaching too, or music or something. This is the first time in our married life for 7 hours, those first 7 hours of it, we didn't play anything. Guess what we did? We prayed in the Spirit for 7 hours, almost 7 hours, and talked in English a little bit and such. But we didn't turn the radio on, didn't turn nothing on. We just prayed in tongues. You don't pray in the Spirit for almost 7 hours and something not happen to other situations and to you. Because you're building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When we got there, we were refreshed. But what's so cool is you're praying for other people, but you're getting blessed at the same time. How does God do that? No idea. Don't care. Just like it. Somebody says, well, I don't pray in the Spirit that much. You know, but people come up to me and say, well, how do you minister to people? You pray for them. Amen? One of the greatest ministries in this church are the intercessors, the people who pray. Who pray. That's why in 90 days, see, God's been doing, it's really weird because we're getting parallel stuff the way you got. Guess what we've been studying? Love. I've been studying love for I don't know how long. Guess what y'all been studying? Love. Scott calls me and says, what are you talking? What are you preaching on? What are you ministering on? What's happening in your life? No, he doesn't. I'm kidding. But God spoke to me at the first year, prayer. Now, I've always enjoyed praying, but I mean prayer. And I didn't realize how much I was going to need to pray. So thank God for prayer. How do you minister to someone in public? 11 words can help. You're sitting in a restaurant. Or you're going, wherever, let's just take that for example, because that's where I started. You look at your server. You can do whatever God tells you to do. Don't just do it because I am. How long have you worked here? Ask the server that. How long have you worked here? All right, that requires a response of some sort from them because they want a tip. And the word tip, I understand, from the English word, to ensure promptness. So that you want your server to be good, tip them ahead of time. How long have you worked here? Well, I've worked here so many years. How do you like it? They may lie to you, or they may do what we have happen a lot. They open up. Well, it's a wonderful job. I really like it. And you just come back with something, three more words or four words. Well, God's blessed you, hasn't he? And you're going to find out one way or the other where they are. Or you can say, well, I noticed you were very happy. You know, praise God. You must know the joy of the Lord. Or you look, or they may open up like one girl did and said, you know, I'm having a tough time and my child's sick and I'm this and this, this. And Joanne reached out and said, can we pray for you? Oh, I wish you would. Well, we don't ask right now. We just grab their hand. Now you say, well, that's, what are you really accomplishing? A whole lot in those people's lives. And if you're like I was, feeling like that was intrusive, you know, I didn't want to go to the mall and have people attack me or me attack them. But maybe God uses you that way. That's cool. But you can start by praying for an ambulance. If you don't do this, I encourage you to do this. When an ambulance goes by, it catches my ear. It catches my eyesight. I was in a restaurant the other day with a friend of mine, and I went by like this. I looked back at him. He's looking at me real puzzled. I was watching that ambulance go by. Why? And I started praying the Spirit. I'm praying for the EMTs. I'm praying for the people there. I'm praying for the people driving the ambulance. I'm praying for the people in the ER. I'm praying for the doctors. I'm praying for the family members. I can do that in the Spirit in 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, whatever. That's how I started. That's how you start. But you've got to take a risk. Faith and reaching out is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. Risk. Joanne says this. He doesn't say, let your mouth run. He says, let your light shine. I love that. God says, doesn't say, let your mouth run. He says, let your light shine. See, here's the key. We're talking about faith. Somebody says, well, I thought we were talking about faith and believing in God for healing. Yes, we are. We're just in prayer right now. Are you available? And are you obedient? It's two sides of the same coin. I'm available, God. Here am I, send me. Well, he's doing the sending. Are you doing the going? If you don't pray that, you know, I've had people say, well, nothing like that ever happens to me. I said, are you praying? God, here I am, send me. I want to be available. Well, no. But if you do, say, God, we're ready. This is what my wife prays. We're ready for an adventure with you. I know I might as well just not get in a hurry. I don't know if she ever told the story about in Charlotte one time. We were driving a car, and I drove this car, and the guy said, can I drive it over to a restaurant? And he said, lunch? He said, sure. So we went, and Joanne didn't want to go there. She had a vision in her spirit about going somewhere else. And she said, you know, loving wife that she is, she says, okay, that's fine. So we went to this restaurant, but she had a vision of something else. Did we ever tell that story here? It was about McAllister's Deli, and it was something green. She kept seeing green. We were in Charlotte. So we went to this restaurant, and we sat down, and it was a sports bar. Well, I don't care about going to bars necessarily, but that's where it was. That was what was close by. So we sat there and ate, and the waitress comes up, and I looked at her, and guess what I said? 11 words. How long have you worked here? How do you like it? In fact, that was one of the first times I'd done that, and she unloaded. She said, she says, I'm older. I've been working here for so many years. And she said, they got a new computer system. I just can't do it. I'm just having trouble with it. And I looked at Joanne like, batting my eyes, like, will you do something here? And because I wasn't going to pray for it. I mean, I could have, but I wasn't impressed. I would just open the door. Joanne prayed for her. Guess what? A week later, we had to go back to the same place because I was getting something repaired and had to go pick it up. And when I did, I said, let's go eat back there at that restaurant. Guess what? The lady said, oh, yeah, praise God. You know, she didn't say praise God. She said, it's good. Everything's great. Thank you for praying for me. Little thing. But the McAllister's Deli was weird. We started to go home. She said, I got something weird to ask you. I thought, oh, boy, here we go. Adventure with God. And we ended up going to McAllister's Deli. We sat there like she's got somebody to pray for. She keeps seeing something green. Well, guess what? McAllister's Deli and that particular sign, when she'd seen the billboard and saw this green, it was McAllister's Deli was green. The part of the billboard. And this lady walked in and sat down and she had a green sash on, right? Or something. No, it was a, tell me. The booth was green. Yeah. And so Joanne walks over and starts praying for her. Amen. And minister to her. She said, Joanne said, well, I'm a Christian. She says, good. Last night I was watching the Psychic Network and they were doing stuff like this. So I went to Southern Manors. Anybody know where that is? So I went to Southern Manors in Columbus and walked in early. Joanne and I walked in early. Nobody was in there. Except a couple people at some tables. And the ladies are standing behind the cash register. And I walked in and I saw this lady standing right in the way. And I went to pick up a menu and I had to walk around her. So I'm looking at the menu and I said, okay, I think I'll go order. I turned around and there she was right in my way. I almost ran over her. That's number two. So I went to get after I ordered and went to get my drink and my water or whatever, and when I turned around, I almost ran into her again. Number three. Five times this lady and I almost run into each other. Now, spiritual giant and man of God that I am, I thought, be angry and sin not. I'm getting frustrated. What is wrong? I started looking on her after the flesh. Number three, don't do that, right? So I started looking on her after the flesh. After five times of this, I'm putting the top on my water, putting my straw in my water, and turn around, and guess where she's sitting? Right beside my wife in a booth caddy corner near the front window. She's still around sitting there. And I sit down, and it hits me. Oh, my gosh. We got to pray for this lady. This is going to be fun. Go, Joanne. Well, Joanne prays for the ladies mostly. So she looks at her and opens it. She asks her, and all of a sudden they get into a conversation. The lady is brokenhearted over her sister or friend, someone who's in a terrible situation. And she's almost given up praying for her. That lady left with hope that day. Little things like that. Little things. But they're big in God's eyes.
That's right.
See, you're not going to look there necessarily, but you might want to write this down. Romans 9:19 says, for all creation, from Weymouth says, Romans 9:19, eagerly awaiting, for all creation gazing eagerly, I love Weymouth, as with outstretched neck, creation is waiting, longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, that's you. That's me. How's Jesus going to come back if we don't tell people? Number five, number one, again, choose humility over humiliation. Number two, choose to stand on His word no matter what happens or how long it takes. Number three, choose to look on no one after the flesh. Number four, choose to pray and praise. And finally, somebody say, thank God. Number five, choose to rest in peace, R-I-P. Rest in peace or rest in presence. You know, they usually say that when someone's dead. Rest in peace. He's resting. You know, dead people are resting. Hello? The cemetery right down the street from where I lived across the street had we used to go sledding on this great hill beside the cemetery. It was called Rest Street. I never understood what that meant until one day it hit me. Oh my gosh, these are all people resting out here. Did you know years ago they used to take picnics in cemeteries? They didn't have parks, so I guess, anyway, whatever. Rest in peace, rest in His presence. So, something interesting happened to me. I'm not really a social media buff like a lot of people are. I like to read LaJoyce's stuff and look at her paintings. But something very weird kind of happened to me. 3 years ago, we'll say this, I got a message. I don't even know what the terminology, I got a message. And it was from my girlfriend in the third grade. But I didn't see it for 2 years. 2 years. And I saw it. One day it just popped up. I thought, oh my gosh. So what happened was she wrote me and she said, I finally found you on Facebook. This was 2 years prior. I finally found you on Facebook. Great. It looks like you're having a great life. Things are going well for you. It's great. So I wrote her back. I said, are you still on here? You know, I mean, I was just thinking that. Wrote her back and we started communicating a little bit. She said, some of your friends in Gaffney, where I grew up, would love to hear from you. I thought, okay, cool. That was it. We didn't talk much anymore at all, I don't guess, for another year. And I just forgot about it. So recently, back in January, sometime like that, I guess, February, January, I get another message from her. Some of your friends in Gaffney think you're dead. Now, that's weird. Have you ever had someone think you were dead? I've never had that happen. Maybe you have. But they think you're dead. And I raised my hand and said, thank God I am. Hallelujah. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to unrighteousness. I'm dead to sin consciousness. I'm dead to sickness. I'm dead to disease. I'm dead to anything the enemy would say. Praise God, I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive to righteousness. Amen? Sin has no more dominion over me. I'm dead. If you were dead and we put you out here, praise God, your body out here, you'd be in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. But your body would be dead. We couldn't get you to sin because you're dead. When you were alive, you had a podcast. I said, cool. Yeah. So I reconnected and there was this discussion going on. They thought I was dead. And one person said, well, I know he came to the Methodist church that we used to go to with his puppets. I thought, well, I'm remembered because of puppets. And so anyway, I reconnected with these people and I said, no, I'm alive. And this other girl in Gaffney, Brenda, has resurrected me. She found me through Facebook, through Penny. Now, you say, where are you going with all this? Just hang on. You're dead. The old man is dead.
Yes.
Praise God. I can think of more examples, but I'll stop on that. So I reconnected with Brenda, and Brenda says, well, you know, we get to talking, and she's, guess what? Brenda goes to Landrum Methodist Church. She said, let's get together for lunch. 4-hour lunch. We, the four of us, talked. We had a great time. It was wonderful. And during that lunch, we reviewed, she and I went, she was in the Methodist church with me. She went to almost all my classes through elementary school, and then I moved away. Well, I moved to a different school in Spartanburg. But in the sixth grade, now listen, you listen to this. In the sixth grade, I had one of the most dramatic days of my life. I won't go into too much detail here, but I played a piano recital with a violinist. And I never could read music. I faked my way through it with my ear. And I lost my place in the music to where my ear would know where I was. And all of a sudden, in front of at Limestone College, in front of all these people, I was humiliated. Remember our first point today? I was totally embarrassed and humiliated. That night, I mean, right when I got through the recital, that was it, that night, I had to go to a sixth grade dance at a friend of mine's house. And all my friends were there in sixth grade. And I was humiliated again, two times. And I'm telling Brenda about this, and I'm free from that.
Awesome.
For your health. Here's my plug. Every time I'm in this pulpit, I'm going to plug it. For your health. There was nothing there. The lies were gone. Rest in peace. Rest in His presence. Finally, we'll close. Philippians 4, 10, 11. I'm just going to just say what this says, basically. Paul said this, I've learned how to abase and abound. But he says, I've learned, no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be content. And I was reading that the other day, and it hit me. No matter what state of mind I'm in, I have learned to adjust to contentment. No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, my stance in the circumstance will be contentment.
Yes.
So after this 21-day warfare, and right before that, I was sick texting Teresa saying, we're healed. Like, but this 21-day warfare, maybe it was the middle of that, but this 21-day warfare, this peace came over me. I'd stood on the word. I'd seen it work. And I went to get my hair cut in Gaffney to visit my parents' graves, put the flags on them, they're both in the military. I went down there, and I'm just walking in such peace. Have you ever been in that type of peace? It's just, I mean, your tranquil state. Maybe y'all, most of y'all walking, like I look at Wanda and I think, well, Wanda walks in that, and Linda, they walk in that all the time. Maybe y'all do, you know. Maybe you go home and pull your hair out. I don't know. I mean, you're just frustrated with life and, but you come across as peaceful to me. And in my life, it's not always been that way. But I was at such peace. I was content. And I walked in to get my hair cut, and I'm talking to the lady who does my hair. She's cut it for 20 years, I guess. And she looked at me. I was getting ready to leave, and she said, are you okay? I said, yeah, why? I slept pretty good last night. I'm real good. Why? She said, you don't act like you feel good. And it hit me. Oh my gosh, how was I acting before? I wasn't in peace like this. God wants you to be peaceful. He wants to relieve the stress off of you. Life is too short. As my dad says, it's short. Eat your dessert first. Rest in God can change your personality if you allow it to. So, number one, choose humility over humiliation. Number two, choose to stand on His word no matter what happens or no matter how long it takes. Number three, choose to look on no one or no situation after the flesh. Number four, choose to pray and praise. Number five, choose to rest in peace or rest in His presence. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Praise God. God's good. God's good. God's good. Just wanted to see if you'd say it again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You're here and you're praying for a loved one. I want to encourage you. You're praying for someone in need. They're on your heart. Maybe they're on your heart right now. They're coming to your mind right now. Anybody in here like that? Anybody here praying for somebody? You're believing God for someone? Put your hand up, just if you would. Yeah. Would you mind standing up? We're not going to go into detail or ask you questions or anything like that. I don't want to embarrass you. Someone's really on your heart right now. A friend of mine is a great Bible teacher, and he was sharing about the prodigal son. And there's so many lessons in that. But it hit me. What about the prodigal's father? And you can read some things about that. But what must he have been going through? Watching, or maybe they didn't have texting back then. They had FaceTime Live or whatever they call it. Here, Dad, I'm in the pig pen. See? No. He didn't know what was going on, maybe. He had no idea. He loved his son. And we always talk about the heavenly father and the child, the son being us. But what about you being that prodigal's prayer life? You're the life connection to that prodigal. You're the one who is believing God. Either that or someone who is in a terrible situation. Our phone's been ringing off the hook for 2 weeks. With people who are in desperate places. And it's so easy to carry the weight of that. God doesn't want you to carry it now. You've got to give it to Him. You've got to make sure you have given it to Him. Father, I pray right now for whatever stress, we just break the power of that lie right now. We're not taking it. We're not taking the care of this. These people are in your hands. And as that word says over in Isaiah, great is the peace of my child, for he's taught the Lord. Great is their peace of these people we're praying for, whether children, grandchildren, or whatever, because they're taught of the Lord. Lord, we don't have to spoon feed them. The Holy Spirit can minister to them right now because we pray the perfect will of God over them when we pray in the Spirit. We release them to you right now. We affirm they're in your hands. Maybe you've already done that. We affirm they're in your hands, God. You're working on their behalf through their spirit, through a song they hear, through somebody else, through whatever means, Lord God, in line with your word. They're hearing it. They're being exposed to it. Thank you, Father. And we wait and we see them afar off, but we see them by faith. We see them by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God's good.
Father, you've blessed each of us in a very specific way because you are a very personal God. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. For your richness is in abundance in our lives. Father, let us go today and speak those truths that you have laid out for us. Let there be no question in our minds or in our hearts or in our hands and feet that we are your children. We are King's kids. You have equipped us. You have taught us. You have blessed us. Father, and we thank you that we can go and we can share you and change people's lives. It is truly a blessing to serve in your kingdom. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. You are released.